This episode of the Star Wars Report is brought to you by patreon.com/StarWarsReport. You can support the show directly and help us take things to the next level when it comes to audio equipment, production, value, and much more. Once again, support the show at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back. It is the Star Wars Report podcast. Oh, my goodness. For the week of August 31st, being recorded on August 30th, by the way. Something a little bit special about that date. Has nothing to do with Star Wars. It's about me. It's my birthday, Mark.
I thought it was your life cycle. Skype told me so.
I know, and that's the way we do it these days, right? If you have to wait, if it's not the Facebook notification or the Skype notification, or in my case this morning, turning on my phone to Google wishing me happy birthday, it's not official. Because human error does exist. One of my older sisters actually sent a happy birthday text a day early, and she never does that kind of thing. She always remembers everyone's birthdays and sends them a card that arrives in the mail on the correct day. This is my sister, but she accidentally, for once in her lifetime, sent a text that was like, happy birthday! And I knew it was a day early, and I took some small degree of satisfaction knowing the following text would be like, oh God, I'm so sorry. No, it wasn't that bad. It was great. I'll tell you what. It's had a nice quiet day. And it was celebrated in some Star Wars fashion. I got to play Lego Star Wars, which there's a throwback, with my brother-in-law over at my in-law's house. So I had got some carrot cake, played some Lego Star Wars. I got an Amazon gift card, and I'm recording the Star Wars Report. So I call it
a good day.
How's yours been, sir?
Man, I'm just panicking. I know Force Friday's coming up, and everybody's posting these little, I got my little Disney Infinity little three guy.
By everybody, you mean Teresa.
Teresa's on like a personal mission to get like everything and rub salt in my wounds. And Nathan's got the pre-order. Here they come. March going down, and I'm just like, I have no money. I'm seeing these really cool Millennium Falcons and micro machines and diecast, and my nails are gone because I'm chewing them off because I have no money right now. I need to win the lottery bad, dude. And then you see, like,
we're just getting started too.
Happy. I'll see, like, people are like, I had like six Star Wars shirts and I had this. Come on, Walmart, why won't you let me buy it? And I'm like, aha, foiled, yes. Because I'm like,
so you actually. So you actually, you're taking some sadistic pleasure in the fact of all the distribution issues, because at least it makes us feel better who can't afford it.
I'm like, you can't get it till the 4th, man. That's wrong.
Exactly.
Only because I don't have any money. Otherwise, I'd be like, get out of the way, dude. I need two of those.
Yeah, well, exactly. So, this whole Force Friday thing, it's right around the corner. It's 1 week away. As you're listening to this very podcast, it's mere days away. Mark, I think we can both conclude we're not ready for it. We're not ready for the insanity that is going to be Force Friday. Man.
I've done a Target event before, and it was fun. Let me tell you. But when those doors opened, I was the first one in line because me and my coworker, we worked a graveyard shift. So we waited 3 hours before anyone else was even thinking about getting there. And even though I was the first one, I was propelled on a wave of people hauling ass to the toy section, man. I mean, it was just insane.
It's like
I was
surfing.
So afraid I was gonna trip.
Well, it's like Black Friday, except for it's Star Wars fans, so they're usually pretty nice about it. So it's sort of like surfing into the store, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and then there's that side of me, the broke side of me, that's like, you know, there's going to be some multimillionaire that's going to come in and buy everything. He's just going to have it all, and I'm like, oh, I want to be you so bad.
Ah, no. Think of Yoda. Put your mind off of such things. Do not buy the Yoda action figure. even though you're thinking of Yoda.
Oh man. Okay. So that Yoda action figure, the one that does the force training and stuff, like it's sick, but I was just like, cha-ching, I can't get it.
Oh, I left it in the car.
The BB though, I'm seeing the reports are around $70. Like that one, I'm like, I might be able to lean a little bit onto my dietary surplus and just starve for the next 3 months and shell out $70 for that. I mean, it looks like he's quality made.
Yeah. Mark, we've got to get off the topic because I am going to die. I'm going to be suffering all. And there's even like the big Dragon Con thing where everybody's going out Thursday night. I can't do it. I can't do it. See, Mark, now you're getting me caught up in it. See where you've drugged me, sir?
I can't help it, man.
You pulled me down with you.
Right now, I've got a diecast Millennium Falcon all painted black. Like Han Solo had it in the New Jedi Order because it's just so glorious.
Well, black.
The new little dish on the new one, man.
There was we'll talk about it. And it's like we should actually talk about Star Wars news instead of just beating around the bush. So I'll tell you what. Let's jump straight into it. Let's get straight into our news segment.
Something to report.
Jump closer. I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
We can send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen.
All right. Star Wars news is happening. So the biggest thing that happened this week, Mark, a new Star Wars teaser. Oh my gosh. That was my reaction because I was at ROTC all day and I got home and I saw on social media a new Star Wars teaser. So the first thing I did was go to the Star Wars YouTube page and I was like, wait, where is it?
See, I was misled. Like the first one I saw was a clickbait title. New Star Wars trailer. I'm like, oh, what's this? And I jump up onto it and I was like, wait, what? That's not a trailer. Who said trailer? I want the head of the guy who said trailer.
Yeah, people were using the word trailer. Now, but still, boy howdy, was it a tease. Let's take a quick listen here.
There's been an awakening. Have you felt it?
Oh, and then I forget Instagram loops. So it's nice, short and sweet, but we get to see new footage of Finn and Rey. Oh, man. I'm sorry. I'm just kind of distracted by how amazing it was. So basically, this is where we confirm many people's speculation. I think the biggest takeaway from this was the fact that we see Finn igniting the blue lightsaber, the icon, in the snowy forest. And it pretty much looks like the same place that our buddy Kylo Ren is. So it's sort of like a mini trailer, mini teaser, and it was cool. And it was out of nowhere. I was not expecting any more footage for some time.
No. And I just want to say, you know, real quick, Han Solo still has ignited a lightsaber, so we're still not in the realm of Finn is full-on Jedi. I mean, although it does kind of look that way. I like the fact, though, that when they had the Force Awakens Museum at Star Wars Celebration Anaheim, they didn't show Finn's costume with that lightsaber clip to him.
Yeah, just the art.
Only the little art that they later showed in the magazines and stuff showed it there. So it was like one of those things where you were like scratching your head going like, wait, why is it there but not here? And then you start seeing other leaked things. So it's like there is a case here that is probably the direction it's going, but I don't know. I'm like the next 3 months are starting to become that point where I'm like la 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 in the corner because I don't want to know too much about it, but I'm still intrigued.
I am getting there too, man. I am kind of, as long as it's officially released, I'm consuming it. And there's certainly more stuff coming out officially than I expected. Case in point, this Instagram teaser. And it kind of, there's a technological aspect to it as well, Mark. Instagram basically rolled out, finally, the feature where they have the ability to do landscape images now and video. So they took advantage of it and released the widescreen trailer in the Instagram app natively. So, that's kind of techno babble for new update for Instagram users. It's a huge platform. I mean, I think this thing got 45,000 likes in the first hour alone. And it's highly shareable and it's designed for your mobile devices. So I think, again, it kind of proves the marketing team behind The Force Awakens, they know what they're doing.
Well, the other aspect of that, did you hear about The Force Awakens? They're going to have all the IMAX theaters in December. I'm like, wait, all of them? Like, I don't know how many there are, but that seems impressive, and it seems like a real good way to get a monopoly on, you know, blockbuster December film.
Absolutely. No, that's actually a good point. IMAX, okay, so first of all, I absolutely love IMAX, and I absolutely love 3D, and I'm a 3D apologist. I enjoy watching films in 3D. Granted, my exposure to 3D is primarily real D, which I think is usually pretty solid, and even the post conversions, while kind of wonky at times, I usually walk out of the theater happier that I saw it in 3D.
Yeah, so real like, D is the way to go.
Case in point,
avoid Dolby.
Case in point, Mad Max Fury Road. Right, when it came out, it is definitely it's filmed on film, a traditional style of filmmaking. And it's not really natively designed to be in 3D, but I went and saw 3D screening, and I think I really enjoyed the way the landscapes and stuff are just given a little bit of depth. So I enjoy 3D. I'll pay the extra $2 or $3 to see it in 3D if it's available. So the debut way, I will almost certainly be seeing The Force Awakens, depending on the Alamo Drafthouse's technology. If we do end up going out to Austin, more on that soon. We'll probably be in IMAX 3D. And there's a good reason, because I'm not alone. They've basically... there's a phone call, Mark. And it was basically the head of IMAX 3D theaters everywhere and Kathleen Kennedy. And she's like, hey, you know your theaters? We want all of them. We're booking all of them in December. It's over 3/4 of all IMAX theaters will be playing Star Wars The Force Awakens.
So the number I'm seeing here, it says out of 400, 375 of them have been already booked. Like, oh, wow.
Make that like 90%.
Hey, they're Dubai with the world's cranes.
and it's interesting because, I mean, let's be honest. It's the way that they're going to be marketing and selling IMAX is kind of gimmicky, because from what they've said, it's only one sequence that they shot in IMAX, and I'm pretty sure it's that Millennium Falcon shot that we all saw in that first trailer. Mm-hmm. So it's really going to be one moment that it's designed for. I wonder if it's going to be one of those wonky things where like the screen goes full screen at the IMAX theater for a certain period and then goes back to the normal widescreen aspect ratio, like if the aspect ratio is going to change during the movie. Or
I've
not.
Never even thought about that. See, the only IMAX experience I have is I watched Star Trek II Into Darkness with my son Gavin. We were down at Disneyland, and we saw it there at the IMAX theater they have in the downtown Disney area. And I don't think that one was even shot for. I didn't even think about that as a process that you should be shooting it for the IMAX theaters. I really liked it, but I have no clue if it was even shot that film for those type of theaters. Wow, you've blown my mind, dang it. Now I'm like, I got to go to see it in IMAX too.
Yeah, no, I think, and I can't even remember, I'm going to be speaking entirely off the cuff. Actually, you know what? I won't put my own foot in my mouth. Suffice to say, I know there are a number of films that have done that before, where they change aspect ratio during the film, depending on the sequence that they shoot. Which I think that's going to be interesting to see. I mean, Mark, do you have like, we're getting in that crunch time. Any particular ideas of where you want to go, what you want to see? Are there any special screenings or like 501st groups that you're looking at for Oregon?
Well, I know Iguana, you know, the local comic store, they usually do something. So I'm already doing, you know, if they're going to do it, I'm doing it with them. I told my wife we're going to go and see it at least in 3D twice. We're going to see it in 2D. I mean, I plan on going and seeing the living hells out of this, man. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go and see it at least 5 times. And if I see any movie in December, I got to go and see Star Wars at least 2 more times, because I really want to, you know, push that sale, you know, which I guess that's collectively the next big breath I have is once the next films come out, you know, will the precedent, the raising of the bar that we're going to see, will it continue past that? Because, you know, how well will they be able to keep that momentum going, and how fast will it peter off the public interest in Star Wars? You know, will it be a quick flash in the pan again, like it was when episode, you know, one came out? You know, everybody was all super excited and stuff, and then they kind of felt, you know, okay, now what? And then it wasn't until episode 3 came out, we were all amped up again. And it's like, well, now we're in a world where we could be amped up every single year. So is there going to be a point where it starts to dim down, or is it just going to keep building and building and building? And I'm hoping for the build.
I don't know, man. I think it'll be some combination of the two, like long term, where it goes up and down depending on the film, because there are Marvel films that didn't do as well as other Marvel films, but everyone still gets excited about the next Marvel film. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, totally. Exactly.
So, speaking of Force Awakens, I mean, the details keep coming fast and furious, pun intended. Force Awakens, Kylo Ren isn't a Sith. So this came out in Empire Magazine fairly recently. I want to say it wasn't this last week, but I believe it was the week before. And I wanted to touch on it so that it didn't escape our attention. And so Empire Magazine was interviewing the one, the only, J.J. Abrams, and he confirms the subtext that Kylo Ren is not a Sith. A Sith Lord? that one's for you, Steve. So he is, quote, he serves the Supreme Leader Snoke, who is, quote, a powerful figure on the dark side of the Force. So, I mean, that's basically, if Supreme Leader Snoke was a Sith, he would have said so. But more intriguing.
Well, real quick, with the whole not a Sith is a Sith. Let's just point out, Sith. Asajj Ventress falls in the same category. Like, you know, the Jedi, like, oh, she's a Sith. She's like, I am Sith. Dooku, you are not a Sith. And yet, back and forth they go.
exactly. So the most interesting quote I wanted to pull out, contextualizing the origins of the First Order, Abrams said, quote, that all came out of conversations about what would have happened if the Nazis all went to Argentina, but then started working together again. What could be born of that? Could the First Order exist as a group that actually admired the Empire? Couldn't the work of the Empire be seen as unfulfilled? And could Vader be a martyr? Could there be a need to see through what didn't get done? And this is all from J.J. Abrams himself, which, by the way, great way to answer the question, J.J., by asking 5 questions in your answer to the question.
Yeah, way to go.
You notice that?
But, you know, they kind of sound like the Empire Reborn and the Imperial Remnant, all wrapped up into one.
I always thought that there would be some way that they did this, where it would be a way of constructing a remnant. It's just difficult to do that without it seeming like a second fiddle, right? Like just a diminished shadow of the once Imperial threat. Because let's be honest, you can't make another villain that is more powerful than the Emperor of the Universe, right? He's the Emperor of the Universe. If you make another Emperor of the Universe, it'll just echo in a kind of hollow way. So, in a way, I mean, Mark, now that I'm thinking about this, I think there's a pretty healthy measure of irony here. But in a way, think about this. The Force Awakens is thematically capturing a lot of my favorite parts of The Phantom Menace, where everything's probably going pretty well. There ain't no big Empire ruling everybody with an iron fist and killing off all the Jedi. Instead, there is this Imperial remnant that's kind of scattered and dysfunctional, right? This distant threat, this, if I may, Phantom Menace.
Ooh.
Yes, he said it. He said it, folks. Ladies and gentlemen.
Well, the thing for me that really intrigues me the most is, you know, okay, so he's not a Sith, yet he's sporting a red-bladed saber, which is customary for almost everyone to recognize with the Sith. We know that Supreme Leader Snoke is a powerful figure on the dark side of the Force. So one of the two of them is using the dark side. One of the two of them is using a red lightsaber. What is really going to set them apart from the Sith? And I think that that's one of the things I'm really excited about, because
help me out here.
Know what a Sith is. So what does not a Sith look like?
help me out here, Mark, or in the chat. Is there an example of a Force user on the dark side in the Star Wars films for the original trilogy? So, like, not Asajj Ventress, not Clone Wars, but like an actual dark side force user that's not in the Sith Lord, because my brain's not functioning. And I know there's one, and I can't think of it off the top of my head. But Mark, if you think of it, or
Mara Jade, I mean, it's,
well, and there's Legends plenty in the expanded universe, but I'm like, I'm trying to think of something that is specifically Lucasian, and I can't really think of examples. So part of me, I mean, this is kind of what once again demonstrates the distance from Lucas that The Force Awakens seems to have. Because if their entire premise and villain for the film is not a Sith Lord, but a wannabe, that's not really a very Lucasian theme, at least from the original trilogy. Although, as I speak, I think it is very much like we would see with Grievous later and Asajj Ventress. So in some ways, I guess maybe it is. It just depends on how you spin it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's one. There's nothing from canon. I mean, there's a few examples here and there in Legends of Jedi that fell and people that decided to follow Palpatine and just gave themselves to the dark side.
Yeah.
Others that had, you know, holocrons were shattered and it corrupted them and things like that. But that's all in the realm of Legends now, man.
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting to see exactly what it does mean. Although I will say this. Force Awakens is not the only thing that's coming out that people are excited about. They have the cover out for Battlefront Twilight Company. And I'll never forget being at Star Wars Celebration when they announced this novel, and a very, very wry and I might even add cynical Michael Cohen was like, yeah, because we all want to read about troopers in a video game. And I kind of agreed with him, I'll be honest. I was like, why would Battlefront be a good book title? But they have released the cover for Star Wars Battlefront Twilight Company, and it's pretty cool. It's not bad.
I think it was at the Untold – no, it was the Star Wars at Del Rey panel. They mentioned some of this, and at the time it was just the title of this book and the rest was all black. But they talked about how the Twilight Company was – the lead company in the push, you know, so as the battle would go further out and they push out the front lines, these guys were the ones that would jump from the world to world to world.
Yeah.
And they were leading the fight. Well, at this point they're on the withdrawal and now they're at the other end of that. They're the last ones to leave. And so it's at that point in the battle for them as they're withdrawing from one planet to the other, they're literally the last feet on the planet.
Hence the word.
Seeing this, you're like, oh, holy cow. Like they are under some serious firepower.
So hence the term Twilight Company. Huh. Yeah, it all makes, I mean, it all makes sense now. There we go. Well, man, I am intrigued. This will be one of those things. I'm still, Mark, I'll be honest, I thought with the new books and with everything being canon now, I would be more inclined with the clean slate to jump into new books. And after the slew, help me out with the titles. What are some of the titles? We've had Tarkin. We've had Heir to the Jedi.
Yep, Heir to the Jedi.
A New Dawn.
Disciple, which is my fan favorite at the moment. I'm loving the heck out of that one.
But I will be honest, with each of these examples, with the possible exception of Dark Disciple, none of it's really captured my attention. So I'm in a phase where I'm going to be waiting, and if everyone's really raving about, oh, you got to read this Twilight Company book, it probably won't really come across my desk. We'll see. Well, but I will say this, they're doing the right things in terms of the cover art, because that looks awesome sauce.
There was review for Aftermath that came out today. One of the guys that was reviewing it had the audiobook and was going over that. And he had some interesting things because he was looking for all these little links to The Force Awakens, because this is part one of three books that are all part of the Force or the journey to The Force Awakens. But he was looking for things that were going to give him an idea as to the state of the galaxy. And again, at the Star Wars at Del Rey panel, they had mentioned, you know, when this book comes out, you're going to get those things, but you're not going to know what they are until after you've seen the film. Once you see the film, you're going to be like light bulbs going off. Oh, that's what that was about. That's what they were referring to. Yeah. That's what that meant. And it was funny because like his review kind of seemed a little negative, but it hit all the promises she made at that panel. I'm like, oh, okay. Cause I remember being really worried or trepidatious about knowing that there was 20 books and more coming out as of September 4th. I was like, wait, there's 20 coming all together? Like, that's insane.
Indeed there is. Yeah, no. Well, I want to take a brief timeout before we continue and thank our sponsors. And I'm not talking about audible.com. I'm not talking about our Amazon store. I'm talking about you guys. And I want to give a special shout out for this week to Marcus Alexander, who is our newest patron, supporting us over at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. And that is where you can pledge and donate directly to the show and help us do things like buy new equipment and upgrade the show and get awesome bonus content like what we're doing tonight, which is doing our evil super top secret. And by top secret, I mean release to all of the patrons. Thank you for supporting us. Plan for the Peter Mayhew panel I'm moderating at Dragon Con. We're literally going to just plan it on air tonight and then release that audio to everybody who's supporting us over at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. And that's the kind of thing we like to do as a way of thanking you for thanking us. It's all kind of circular. The circle is now complete, if you will. So this week's featured supporter, Marcus Alexander, thank you so much for helping us out here at the Star Wars Report. And Mark, fun fact, due in large part to the generous support of our good listeners, my non-CPU fried, which is what it is now, my non-CPU fried, non-LCD screen half-working, actual functioning laptop, which will be used to broadcast this show from this very studio, arrives tomorrow morning, and that's thanks in large part to you guys supporting us over at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. All right, so Mark, I understand that you have to get out of here soon, and you're kind of making me sad, man.
Well, we got 11 minutes of goodness.
I know, we got like a few precious minutes, but I got to ask you. So, I have one question to pose to you and the good audience here before we let you go. And the topic of conversation came up, during my small gathering birthday celebration this afternoon. And I was asking around to various family members and friends whether or not I should consider buying a PlayStation 4 or Xbox One exclusively just to play Battlefront. And then I was, in support of my arguments, I was just showing the in-game footage that's been released. And everyone's like, oh, that's so pretty. So weigh in, Mark. What do you think? Should I spend like a month of stipend from the Air Force on a video game system?
Dude, PlayStation 4, man. I got to get one. I don't know how I'm going to do it. Friday's like coming up too fast. And I'm like, I'm focused on it. Now, what is it, like November 26th or something? That's when the game's coming out. I'm going to be like blindsided by that. I don't have $500 for a PlayStation 4. You know, I'm even thinking maybe it's time to crowdfund it. You want me to play you? I'll play you. You got to give me the system, man. Let's do this.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I remember, you know, being really good at games once. My friends got an Xbox 360 and an Xbox One, and every time I play any games on that, I'm like, why am I looking at my feet in a circle? Like I've become the suck guy. Like, you put me on the team and I suck all the life out of us. Like, all 900 lives are going out with me. They're like, just stop hitting start, man. Just stay out of it. We'll play with three people. So I would suggest going that route, but yeah, it's going to be hard for me to get there.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll see, because it'll take some convincing. That's a nice chunk of change, but man, Battlefront. If nothing else, it proves just how amazing is Battlefront. It looks awesome. I'm so impressed. We sure waited a long time. I don't know how many different PSP versions of this game we got before they finally decided to let DICE handle it and give us a proper Battlefront. But man, am I excited. Well, folks, that's going to wrap up this portion of the Star Wars Report podcast. Two quick notes. Coming right up is my interview with Brandi Rotsey, who is the director of Star Wars programming over at Dragon Con, coming up this weekend. Guess what you need to know? This is exactly where I had realized, oh God, Riley, pull out your phone so you actually have the proper information. I'm going to be interviewing Peter Mayhew. That's a thing. I'm kind of nervous. Mark, talk me off the ledge. I'm not. I don't. I have no.
You're not gonna want to mention anything about heights. You know, leave it all on the.
I want to get
horizontal.
Main goal. Vertical. I mean, I want an entertaining show, a good interview, a solid panel, good guests. I just also really want to come out with both of my arms intact. That too. That would be nice. but yes, that's right. This Saturday, as you're listening to this, if you're going to be at Dragon Con, come by and say hello, because Lord knows I'm going to need moral support for doing this kind of thing, because it's a big first for me, but I'm also excited. It's going to be amazing. I've already been in contact with the 501st. We're going to be having like stormtroopers there and cosplayers, interactive pre-show, like Disney Star Wars weekend style, with a bunch of giveaways, because Lucasfilm and StarWars.com gave us some stuff and free posters to give away. Like, we're doing it upright, man, and I am super excited. But let me actually, what I should probably do, Mark, is actually tell people where to go and what to be and what to expect. But it is Saturday at Dragon Con, and here we go. I'm going to click on the old button and click on my schedule, and on Saturday, September 5th, you want to be at the Hygent. Take two. You want to be at the Hyatt Regency for the Meet the Stars of Star Wars panel, where Vanessa Marshall and Peter Mayhew and some jackass named Riley Blanton are going to be. And I will be interviewing them on stage. And it promises to be a rowdy, awesome time. And look, I'm on the Dragon. It says, panelists, Riley Blanton as moderator, Vanessa Marshall and Peter Mayhew. So that's kind of cool. I'm not going to lie. I'm really excited and really nervous. Mark, what should I ask? Any, like, big questions?
Well, you know, you want to hound them as much as you can about any information about
oh boy.
The Force Awakens.
Because that's going to go great. So, Peter, does Chewie die? No, but wait, never mind. You don't have to tell me. I don't want to get you in trouble. Just tell me, does Han Solo die?
Can I get a ride in the Falcon the next time you're touring by the set? Come on now. You know you get free tours.
See, these are the types of questions, Mark, you are trying to remove a limb from me, because it will happen. no, I've actually been in contact with Josh Mueller, who's the CEO of the Georgia Garrison of the 501st, and he's been awesome. So he's like getting cosplayers and stuff. We're going to have a great old time getting stuff together. And I'm nervous as all get out, but it's going to be great. Also coming right up on the show, we've talked about the news. We've brought entertainment and insightful and less than insightful discussion of all the news, which you can expect to hear on the Star Wars Report program. But that's not all. Coming up next is Brandi Rotsi talking about Dragon Con. And stay tuned after that, because that's not one, but two Uomi Jr. Another interview, it's Ashley Eckstein from Star Wars Weekends, live from Star Wars Weekends. It's our interview with Ashley Eckstein. She was super awesome, and we got to talk to her about Star Wars Rebels, Ahsoka Tano, her universe, and much more. So stay tuned for those two interviews, and then stick around afterwards for a special word in the show notes, in the post credits. What's the word, Mark? I can speak, I promise. In the post credits, in the something. We'll do something, right? We're doing it live. So, folks, we'll catch you on the other side.
You're listening to the Star Wars Report. Why, you stuck-up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder.
All right, I'd like to welcome to the Star Wars Report podcast a great friend of the show and a great friend of mine, and the wizard behind everything that happens Star Wars-wise at Dragon Con, which is no small task, I must add. It's Brandi Rotsi. Brandi, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. But, I mean, you're giving me a lot of credit, but it's you guys who come up with most of the great ideas, so we'd be nothing without all of the panel ideas that enable us to put on such awesome programming.
But I will say, what you do so well, and what makes Dragon Con so uniquely special when it comes to Star Wars events, and believe me, at this point in Star Warsdom, if I can invent a word there, I've seen a lot, and Dragon Con is very unique in the way that you really facilitate the fans putting together amazing programming. And it is all over the place. You've got the Younglings Pod Race for the kids. You've got the Big Stars of Star Wars panel, which we'll be talking about more in just a second. And everyone on the podcast, I just gave you guys the details. Be there. It's going to be amazing. And then, of course, you've got all of the fan-run panels as well. I've got to ask, what are some of the big highlights that you think this year's going to have as far as Star Wars at Dragon Con?
Well, I mean, obviously, Peter Mayhew and Vanessa Marshall are, I mean, that's just going to be so exciting. And it's such a fun dynamic because they are both just really, really great fan ambassadors. Fanbassadors, I think that's kind of what we're going with.
Nice,
here.
Nice.
I mean, they're just, they're fans. They are there for the fans. Just, it's going to be a wonderful experience. And I'm so excited to get that dynamic. And Peter Mayhew's in this new movie that's coming out in December. I don't know if you've heard, called The Force Awakens.
What?
So, kind of a big deal.
I know. I was so excited because, as we've talked about on the show, I'm really looking forward to Saturday's Stars of Star Wars panel, which I have a goal, Brandy, and I mentioned on the show, but I want to tell you about my personal goal for this panel that I will be standing up on stage and letting the man, Chewbacca himself, impose his great wisdom. Upon the Star Wars masses. And that is, I want to come out the other side of that hour of Star Wars programming with all of my limbs intact. And if that happens, it's a success.
Right. Well, that would mean that you let the Wookiee win. So
exactly.
Probably good life decisions at this point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's true. Always amazing guests as well. But then of course, let's talk about a few things that are coming up in the Star Wars room itself. Brandy, for any of those of us who've been there for as long as we have, the Marriott A707 is a treasure trove of Star Wars. What are we looking forward to seeing in the Star Wars room this year?
Well, the decorations are going to be, I'm really excited about them. They're minimalist compared to a couple of years, but just a great amount of work have gone into each and every piece that you'll see. And I'm not going to spoil it, but we tweeted something yesterday.
Nice.
To Vanessa Marshall because she had tweeted something previously this week, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, how funny that you were tweeting that!" Because that's the theme this year. So,
nice.
Stay tuned. I'm sure we'll post pictures maybe on Thursday if we get everything up. I think perhaps the most exciting thing that's going to happen in the Star Wars room, in my opinion, will be Chuck Wendig. And he'll be talking about the first book on the road to The Force Awakens, Aftermath, which hits Friday at Dragon Con. So, well, at midnight, technically, Thursday night. We will be going to the Barnes & Noble at Edgewood here in Atlanta for a signing with Chuck Wendig, too.
Oh, nice.
So
nice. And when will that signing be?
The signing is Thursday night at the Edgewood... Edgewood Candler Park,
wait,
Barnes & Noble.
Wait just a second. Hold, stop the presses. See, this is why now you're getting me far too excited, Brandy. Because I'm on Georgia Tech campus all day Thursday, waiting desperately to get off of my ROTC duties to go to Dragon Con, and I'm literally right there. So I'm now extremely excited.
Well, it's the one in Edgewood, down by Little Five Points.
Oh.
So not the one on Georgia Tech campus.
Okay, I gotcha. Okay.
It's about, you can run. You've been at all of your training, your officer training this summer. So
I've been well prepared.
Take a dog on over. It's like 2 miles from the hotel.
There we go. Oh, well, I'm now well prepared. Exactly. No, that's going to be awesome. And that panel's, I know Nancy, a friend of ours here from Tashi Station's doing that. So that promises to be a huge one as well. And yes. Then, of course, I have to pitch them. They never get old. It's a huge staple of Dragon Con, but the author panels, they're always so entertaining and so unique every time. Anytime there's something about Michael Stackpole and Timothy Zahn being in a room together that just magic happens every time. And definitely, if you can make it to any of the author panels, definitely do so.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be so much fun. You're right. There's magic every single time. It's just fun to get them all talking. And Kevin J. Anderson, I mean, you just never know what they're going to say. So we have one of those on Friday at 5:30 in the track room. And then we've got another one on Saturday.
Oh, nice.
So
definitely be there. Well, and speaking of Friday, I'm gonna rapid fire hit a few things that that we will be involved with, me, Bethany, and some of the other folks from StarWarsReport.com. If you are interested, you definitely want to be there. We'll be a part of the Speculating on the Force Awakens panel. That's at the Hilton Grand Ballroom, and that's on Friday at 11:30. So make sure you're there for that Force Awakens, because this year we've got stuff. There's a whole lot that we know, even from the officially released stuff, that I think will really lend to some amazing discussion. And of course, Friday night, who could miss it? The Suit, Sinatra, and Star Wars, which I still argue is the best combination of popular culture that has ever seen this side of any convention. It's amazing, for sure.
It's definitely fun. You know, it just started from one of those times when everybody's sitting around, we're just goofing around, and Fly Me to the Moon. That's no moon. I mean, it's just...
Exactly.
The way things happen at Dragon Con, or just half the time people are just sitting around talking and... Oh my gosh, that's a great idea. Let's try it. So
exactly, and finally, Bethany and I will be on this panel. She will be moderating, but she will be doing the military themes and Rogue One panel on Sunday, and that is at the Marriott A706. Make sure that you are there. We're talking all things Rogue One and military and Star Wars. And now that I have the grand and vast experience of having finished Air Force basic training, I'm sure I can lend my wisdom. I'll be sitting there with Tom Hutchins, of course, of the Mando Mercs, just like, you actually have done this stuff, so. But no, that actually, I'm really looking forward to that panel, because as we've chronicled on this very podcast here, even in the world of ROTC, the active Air Force particularly is so in touch with Star Wars culture that it boggles my mind. Because there isn't, I promise you, Brandy, there isn't a single... a civil engineer major Air Force cadet that I know at Georgia Tech who isn't a giant Star Wars fan, which is what makes it so awesome. So
that makes me feel better about the future of our military and the country too. I mean, because obviously they're going to be the ones that know how to fight, and we'll be fine.
Thank you, Brandy. Brandy, I appreciate your comments, because the a previous guest on this very podcast, one Stephen Glosson, for the listeners, had a more funny commentary, which was after I told him we were doing military training at Air Force field training, and we were basically guarding a defensive fighting position, and we were there for about 6 hours throughout the day, and to pass time and make sure we didn't fall asleep and stayed vigilant, we quizzed each other on Star Wars trivia. So that his commentary is, and this is where our military is going. But I prefer to think of it as a sign of goodwill and intelligence.
Absolutely. Good people, right?
Oh, man. So, folks, you definitely, if you are in the Atlanta area, you want to make sure you are at Dragon Con and following all of the Star Wars happenings and non-Star Wars happenings. It's an amazing convention. It is our home. It is the Star Wars Report's convention home for all things Star Wars, and we absolutely love it. One other note, I want to make sure if you aren't, even if you're not going to Dragon Con, be sure you're following the Star Wars Report on Twitter, and probably more importantly, be following SWAT DC, SWATDC, Star Wars at Dragon Con on Twitter, because you guys are tweeting up a storm, getting ready for the big weekend, and you will be chronicling everything that happens Star Wars wise at Dragon Con. Brandy, thanks so much for coming on. Is there anything that I've missed that you want to make sure that folks know about? Any last words of wisdom before we sign off and get ready for the big weekend?
Well, if you are planning on being in the costume contest, make sure that you're on our webpage, just swatdc.com/costume contest, so that you know when the contest prejudging is going to be. I think it's different than what's in the app, but it'll be basically when we are at the Meet the Stars panels, there will be costume contest prejudging in the track room. So
outstanding.
That's the number one thing that you need to know if you're thinking about being in the costume contest, which
absolutely
will be awesome on Sunday.
And come say hi. We'll be bouncing all over the place, so if you see me, don't be shy. We've met a lot of Star Wars Report listeners over the years at Dragon Con, so definitely do so. Oh, and one other thing, I'm totally gonna throw this out there when I probably shouldn't, but hey, it's a week, and I like to Brandy, sometimes I can be a little bit last minute, I'll be honest. It doesn't always happen, but in this case it is. But we're working to do some shows on the floor And we'll be releasing the actual location so you can come live and see the Star Wars Report doing our thing at Dragon Con. So make sure you're following us on Twitter at Star Wars Report. And we'll be making those announcements very soon. Hint, hint, it might have something to do with the 501st. Hint, hint. So that'll do it for this segment. Brandy, thanks so much for coming on. And we'll see you this weekend.
Thanks so much for having me on. I can't believe it. Like I said, it's just a few days. So
absolutely.
I hope to see you guys Thursday night.
We'll see you Thursday. All right.
All right.
Bye-bye. Okay, thank you. And that was Brandy Rotsey of Dragon Con, and more specifically, Star Wars at Dragon Con. And she's always been so awesome, so kind to us here, and I'm so thrilled that we'll be doing that Stars of Star Wars panel. Again, make sure you're there Saturday at the Hilton. It's going to be amazing. Well, folks, that's going to just about do it. I'm going to go ahead and give the thank yous and the shout outs now and then go straight into our final segment and then credits after that. We will be having our interview from Star Wars Weekends with one Ashley Eckstein. But first, I just want to give my shout outs. Huge thank you to one Mark Herleman for being an awesome co-host and always supporting me in the show here. A huge thank you to Brandy for coming on the show and for supporting us and letting us be a part of the Star Wars track at Dragon Con. Be sure if you're there, say hi to us, say hi to Brandy if you see her, and tell her the Star Wars Report sent you. By all means, do so. That always really helps. Make sure that you're following Mark on Twitter and me on Twitter. It's at The Riley Guy for me, R-I-L-E-Y, The Riley Guy. And same on Instagram. And for Mark, it's at Illogical Rogue 2. That's Illogical Rogue, the number. Two, and shoot us an email, starwarsreport@gmail.com, and make sure, and again, a huge thank you to everyone supporting the show on Patreon at patreon.com/starwarsreport. This week, in fact, as soon as I wrap up this recording here, we're doing our live planning session for what on earth Riley's going to do during the Peter Mayhew panel at Dragon Con, and we're going to do a live planning session right there, and we will be uploading that audio to all of our patrons and, of course, a bunch of other Dragon Con coverage for our patrons over at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. So without further ado, from Star Wars Weekends, live from Star Wars Weekends, it's Ahsoka Tano herself, Ashley Eckstein.
Hey guys, it's Ashley Eckstein here, voice of Ahsoka Tano, here at Star Wars Reads Day at the Little Shop of Stories, and you're listening to the Star Wars Report.
Enough about us. Let's talk to one of my favorite people in the world. It's Ashley Eckstein. Now, I've cluttered the entire desk here with my insane mobile studio, but Ashley, thank you so much for coming on with us for a few minutes on the Star Wars Report podcast and on StarWarsReport.com. Man, there's so many questions. I have to start with Ahsoka, because I'll never forget coming out after seeing the original Clone Wars movie and just not being convinced at all that this was a good... And I'm sure that my story is of many. And then I forget 5 years later after season five ends, like, well, where's Ahsoka? And it's such an amazing experience as a fan to see your journey and Ahsoka's journey come all of this way. So, like, with Ahsoka's journey, is there anything, as you've gotten more and more comfortable with the role, that's surprised you specifically?
Let's see. Well, with Ahsoka, from the very beginning, obviously I was very well aware of her haters, and I was always a season ahead. With Clone Wars, we recorded our episodes, a season ahead from what the audience was actually watching, and so I knew what was coming, and when she had her haters in the beginning, I knew how much she had grown over season one, and I just asked fans for their patience. I said, look, you know, she's you're going to love where she's at the end of season one, and you know, she's a new character. You can't start out a new character perfect, because then there's nowhere for her to go. Every character has to have an arc. And I think part of the reason that the fans like her so much now is because she did start in that bratty, snippy place. And, you know, she's been able to grow with the fans and It's just truly an honor.
Absolutely. I mean, it's not unlike, I always amuse myself because I look back on my first impression. I'm like, well, I do remember first watching Luke Skywalker whine about wanting to go to Tosche Station to pick up some power converters. And that parallel is definitely there. And the journey with the characters also come along with another amazing journey that you've had with her universe.
Yes.
I will never forget going to Dragon Con.
Oh, yes.
Right. I think it was within a year or so of you starting her universe and just seeing the booth there and you bootstrapping your way, getting it started. And now, several years later, here you are at Disney Star Wars Weekends. I just walked through Darth Maul seeing mobs of people picking up these amazing fashion items. Did you ever think, was this your vision for her universe?
You know, my vision for her universe was just to create a community for female fans, a safe, empowering, positive community for female fans. Because what really compelled me to start it was once I started doing my research and I found out that female fans were being bullied, that female fans were being overlooked, that female fans were being put down for liking these stories that they just love so much. It honestly like broke my heart. And I thought, you know what? Somebody has to speak up for these girls. And I have my, and I'm one of those girls, by the way.
Yeah.
And I had my foot in the door at Lucasfilm. I didn't know what I was doing, but I said, you know what? There's so many girls that like Star Wars and we just want a voice. We just want a voice and we wanted to be treated equally. And so that was just my motivation, was just that I want a safe place for these girls where they can feel comfortable stepping into the spotlight and say, hi, I'm a girl and I love Star Wars.
Absolutely. And it's not just about clothing. You have created this whole community and movement. And it's not just, we get to live in a world where there's a Cloud City Millennium Falcon dress. And that's a world that me and my sister Bethany, who's here in the room, very much appreciate. I'm going to squeeze in one quick question from Twitter, at PattyBones2, wanted to know, what are your goals with her universe in the future? Where do you see it going from here?
You know, I want to continue to grow her universe into other retailers, just to reach a bigger audience, because I know that there's still so many girls that don't know about us, and there's still so many girls that think they're the only one in their school that likes Star Wars, and I want to get that's okay.
Sure.
I want to get to those girls, and so it's just finding a way to continue to spread the word. And trust me, I mean, I get so excited about the merchandise and the fashion because we want to look cute, but to me it's more about just the mission.
And it creates a shared experience.
Yes.
And that's what's so important.
That's what's important to me, is just these stories are universal. You cannot put a gender on Star Wars or Doctor Who or Marvel. You know, these stories transcend gender. They're not just for boys.
Absolutely.
They're not just for girls. They're for everyone. So that's my mission, is how can we continue to get the word out and debunk that stereotype that this genre is just for men and boys. So we'll keep going until we change the stereotype.
Please keep doing so, and follow at Her Universe on Twitter to continue the journey. And I am out of time. I won't keep you any longer. Ashley, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Riley. Thank you, Bethany.
You.
Awesome.
Absolutely. Take care.
Falcon flight with destiny. Together, chasing the dark.